The BBC presents Clifford Evans and Joan Matheson in A Day Like Any Other by Heinrich Böll, translated by Richard Graves.
Often, when I go to the tap to fill my pail, I see, without really looking at it, my reflection in the mirror. My hair is still thick, and the sprinkling of grey hairs on my temples, which give a silver sheen to my blondness, are a witness to my grief for the loss of my little son, for whom, my father confessor tells me, I ought to pray. But my gaze, passing my own thin-faced image, plunges into the background of the looking-glass, an unending, dark, milky surface on which appear the forms of those who have determined my life, parents and friends, generations of ancestors whom I only know from vague stories. But in the foreground stand the four figures who are the content of my life. Paul, my husband, who is also growing grey at the temples, and the children, whose growth frightens me, because I know without owning it to myself that each year which is added to their lives means a year taken from mine. Carl is already 12, and Helene 10, and by them stands the little fellow whom I see growing up with his brother and sister. If he'd lived, he would be 11 now. Impatience fills my soul as I look into the face of my husband and note that he is becoming indifferent. It makes me think of the evenings which we so often passed together in silence, though there was a time when we believed that a lifetime would not be long enough for us to tell each other all the things we wanted to say. But he seems to have nothing to say now in answer to the impatience of my look. As I watch him, his image turns away.
I lead a monotonously regular life. Every morning I leave the house at 7:45 so as to catch the tram at 10:02. Punctually at 8:15, I get out at the corner of Gessenstrasse, walk to the office, greet my colleagues, and start work. At 5:15, I leave the office, and I'm at home before 6, where I find my wife waiting for me with tea. Then I read the paper and listen to the radio. At 7:30, my wife sends the children to bed. I hear them saying their prayers together, and then Maria calls me in to kiss them good night. After that, I am alone with my wife. And then, I don't know why, when we are alone, I look around for some excuse for going out, though this is just the time when we could talk to one another. When I come back later, I always find my wife up, sitting and reading in the kitchen, which she has tidied up. And when I open the door, before I have time to speak to her, she gives me a look which seems to contain a question to which I have no answer. And this went on regularly until the day which I thought would be like any other. On Saturday, as usual, I had thrown away my expired weekly ration card into the metal litter box at the corner of the street by the tram stop. Sunday had been just like any other Sunday, and on Monday morning,
the children have gone early today.
Yes, they had early communion for the school.
Helen too?
Yes, both of them. Today I'm giving you liver sausage sandwich and... Look, if you want to warm it up, there's some of yesterday's joint in it, too.
Thanks a lot. Have you put tea or coffee in the thermos?
Coffee today, with milk.
7:42 exactly by the gong. 7:42. Now, before you go and catch that tram to work, maybe you will have time to listen to our very popular number.
Well, I've got to go.
Do eat up your roll and finish your coffee.
No, thanks. I haven't the time. I must really go now.
Don't forget the newspaper, and here are your sandwiches.
Thanks. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Coming home at the usual time?
Yes, as usual. Maria.
What is it?
Oh, nothing. So long.
So long.
It was a day like any other. The conversations in the tram, the walk from Gessenstrasse to the office. Almost all my colleagues were on leave. I sat down, and almost immediately the chief sent for me. I said, good morning, Herr Doctor.
And good morning to you, Schneider.
I can't get accustomed to the office being so empty.
Oh, the others will be back soon, and then we shall get our leave. You look pale, Schneider. Anything wrong?
No. I'm all right, thanks.
Of course, it's Monday. Now, why don't you go and get some fresh air? You might go to the bank and pay in some checks. And at the same time, get them to give you a statement of account. How about it?
As a matter of fact, I was delighted to go. So, I took my overcoat and my hat, fished a few cigarettes out of the drawer in my office, and counted the money in my purse. I still had 3 marks 20, and made up my mind to treat myself to a coffee. I lit a cigarette and strolled off slowly into the Breitstrasse. I stood for a while in front of Bonberg's window and looked at the summer dresses and the faces of the wax figures. I counted the checks in the pocket of my coat and made sure that the envelope with the cash in it was still there. Then my glance fell suddenly on the passage running between Bonberg's shop windows, and I saw a woman whose appearance aroused my excitement. The woman was no longer young, but she seemed beautiful to me. I saw her legs, her green skirt, her brown jacket, and observed the slight shabbiness of her clothes. But more than all, I noticed her gentle and very sad profile. And for a moment, my heart stopped beating. I saw her through 2 plate glass windows. She was looking at the display of garments, but then she began to think of something else. I felt my heart begin to beat as I looked at this woman's profile. She seemed to be a stranger, and yet a certain doubt overcame me. Then she went on, and as I followed her slowly, seeing her now directly and not through the glass, I knew that it was my wife. Yes, it was Maria. As I followed her along the street, she appeared at once strange and very familiar, and my heart started beating violently when she vanished suddenly into a shop. I stopped by a barrow full of vegetables, watching the entrance to the shop, and a lot of things came into my mind which I hadn't thought of for ages.
Lovely big cabbage, the best for sauerkraut, 3 kilos from Ark.
Near the entrance to the shop, there hung the figure of a Javanese in papier-mâché, holding a cup of coffee in front of his gleaming teeth. I stared at the grinning face of the Javanese and remembered how I had first got to know Maria.
Lovely big cabbage! 3 kilos for a mark!
I hope that you aren't cross with me for asking you to dance so often on so short an acquaintance.
Oh, why should I be?
I see people are beginning to smile and to whisper whenever I claim you for a partner.
Who's smiling?
Oh, well, your friends.
Really? Does that worry you?
No, I only thought...
Nonsense.
Would you be very startled if I invited you to go out with me to a cinema or something? One day sooner, perhaps tomorrow... I'd be so happy to be alone with you for once. Do say you will.
No. Really, I can't remember how you put your question, so I don't know whether to say yes or no.
Can I meet you in a cafe, or would you prefer any other place?
Yes.
Tomorrow?
Yes.
Not today, perhaps.
Today? You seem to have forgotten that today's finished. It's past 1 o'clock, Herr...
Schneider. Tomorrow, then?
Very well.
In the Cafe Kaiser, yes? Will you be free at 5:30?
Yes.
Suddenly, Maria came out of the shop and turned into the Breitstrasse with me following her. She was walking very fast, and I was frightened when I lost sight of her for a moment. But soon she stopped in front of the window of a chemist's shop, and I was able to look at her and observe her sad profile. and her body, which for 10 years had lain by me at night, and I felt my heart beating faster and faster. She suddenly turned round, and I dodged quickly behind the crowd surrounding a street vendor's stall, from where I could see her without being seen by her. She looked into her shopping bag, took out a paper, and studied it. I saw her hands and watched her movements. These hands and these gestures, which belonged to this woman who was at once unknown to me and intensely familiar.
Dulcina Cream, Dulcina Cream, it goes on smoothly like a dream. Do you ever pause to think, gentlemen, that you go on shaving for 50 years? Yes, 50 years. If you pause to think about it, gentlemen, you will soon discover that Dulcina Cream is the answer to skin wear and tear.
I heard the chap calling out the advertisements on the loudspeaker, and at the same time watched my wife standing over there in front of the chemist's window. And I thought of the day when our first child, Carl, was born.
I assure you there's nothing to worry about. You need not be alarmed, Herr...
Schneider.
Herr Schneider, really, you needn't. The child's position is quite normal.
But I heard her scream.
Oh, but Herr Schneider, every woman does that when she has a child.
But couldn't one? Mightn't I...
No, I'm afraid not.
Please, please, sister, do let me.
Dulcina Cream, Dulcina Cream, it goes on smoothly like a dream. Do you ever pause to think, gentlemen, that you go on shaving for 50 years?
Then I went into Maria's room. The same Maria who now was standing in front of the window of the pharmacy and seemed to be thinking of something.
Paul.
Are you all right?
Yes, quite all right. Really, I am. Everything's in good order. Have you got all you need? Are they looking after you properly?
Oh, yes, don't worry about me. But tell me, do you think I might see the child, the little boy, just for a moment?
I'm sure you can. Let's just ask the sister.
I brought you this present here, little brooch.
Oh, how lovely, Paul. How lovely. But you really oughtn't to have... How are things at the stores?
Ah.
Anything wrong in the business, Paul? Tell me.
Last night they came and took away the chief.
Herr Kurlinger?
Yes. And all the other Jews in the store. Of course, it was bound to happen. The new chief is...
What's the matter, Paul? Can't we say a thing aloud anymore?
No, not this sort of thing. The new chief is Geddes.
Geddes? The man you had that right.
Shh, please, please, Maria, don't excite yourself. I'll try to come to terms with him. He can't have anything against me, Maria. I'm so happy that we now have a child.
Yes, Paul, so am I.
Dulcina Cream, Dulcina Cream, it goes on smoothly like a dream. Do you ever pause to think, gentlemen, that you go on shaving for 50 years. Yes, 50 years. If you pause to think about it, gentlemen, you will soon discover that Dulcina Cream is the answer to skin wear and tear.
Now my wife walked away from the window of the pharmacy, and my heart beat so madly that I couldn't count the beats. So many things came into my mind, and I wanted to look at Maria, and dreaded to lose sight of her. There she was, walking ahead of me, the woman whom I had known for 14 years, who had borne me 3 children, and whom I had embraced countless times, the woman to whom I was bound by a closer chain than cohabitation. There had been a time when we had prayed together. Now she was crossing the new marketplace where all the tram lines converge, and I saw her stop at a flower stall and pick up some roses and pinks and those great yellow marguerites. I watched her hands as she did so, and saw how carefully she chose them.
Attention, please. Tram number 10 is now going to stop for Zuckerheim. For Zuckerheim on lane 5.
Maria stayed for a long time by the flower woman's stall, and I waited for her behind a telephone kiosk, and thought about the death of our second child, Clement, who was torn out of my wife's arms by the blast of a bomb and flung onto the ground. I had come on leave for the burial of my child. In those days, one could only get leave when someone was killed in an air raid. Now my memories came hurrying back, as Maria was still carefully choosing her flowers. After the funeral, we went home. We went home, wept, and went to bed. Then, after a long silence, Maria began to speak.
I sometimes feel... Don't be frightened, Paul, by what I'm going to say. I find a sort of comfort in the thought that the little fellow is preserved from the troubles of life. Do you understand me?
Yes, Maria.
When have you got to go back?
I ought to have gone today.
So soon.
Don't cry, Maria. I won't go today. No, I won't go. I won't go.
Attention, please. Attention. A special train will leave shortly for the furniture exhibition on leg 3. A special train.
By now, she had already bought the big yellow marguerites, a large bunch with some white ones, too. She always says, I buy the flowers that grow in the fields for little Clement, who has never played there. Now she moved on, but slowly, very slowly, after walking so fast just now, and I knew what she was thinking about. So we walked along, one behind the other, hardly 30 paces apart, both thinking of the same thing. And I hadn't the courage to catch her up and to talk to her, though she was Maria, my wife, the one in all the world who's nearest to me. Suddenly, all seemed hushed as we reached the Church of the Immaculate Conception, and I was startled to see Maria vanish behind the leather door. I didn't know, hadn't thought that she would go into a church in the middle of a working day. It was only then that I noticed that the cigarette I had lit in front of Bonbag's window was still burning in my hand. I threw it away, and then, pushing the leather door open, looked cautiously into the church. I saw that Maria was kneeling quite near to the door. So I went back out of the church and seated myself on a bench behind a snack bar from where I could see who went in and out of the church. A red tram car was swinging round the church, bits of paper were being blown out of a bomb crater into the street, and from the loudspeaker the voice was still intoning advertisements.
Don't despair when a hangover's there. Use your brains and stop the pains with Dolavin. Don't despair when a hangover's there. Use your brain and stop the pain.
So many thoughts were passing through my head that I lost all feeling for time, and the years ran past me, falling away and then coming on again, till suddenly I remembered the day I came home from the war.
Now, everything will be different, Paul. You're here again. The war's at an end and we're beginning a new life.
Yes, a new life.
How strangely you say it. Aren't you really glad to be back at home?
Yes, sure, I'm glad. What's that paper you're holding?
Oh, that'll keep.
Let me look at it.
It's not important.
Maria, please let me see it.
Oh, there you are. Take it.
Maria gave me the paper and I read, it is confirmed that office worker Paul Schneider is entitled to a weekly tramway ticket on line 12, Dr. Vingis and Company, Wholesale Chemicals. They seemed to be in a hurry, I said. How did they know I was back? I'd only just arrived, I said.
Didn't you meet your colleague, Bergson? He must have told the doctor you were home.
Well, go on.
Oh, Paul, don't nag me, I don't know. Anyhow, the paper was delivered this morning.
Well, I don't want to nag you, Maria, but all the same, it's funny. You must realize that the moment I get back, this slip of paper comes for me and
Paul, I see I must tell you, but please don't be cross. One day I met your chief and he asked for news of you. I told him you were a prisoner of war with the English and he asked if you would like to start again in his office. Then he gave me a quarter kilo of sweets. He said that every one of his employees gets half a kilo monthly. And then when he asked again, I said yes, that you'd be sure to want to go back to the firm. You know, a quarter kilo of sweets is a regular fortune these days and jobs for office workers are awfully scarce. You mustn't be...
No. I'm not cross, Maria. Don't fuss. So, I've got to start work again in an office. You might get me a weekly tram ticket when you next go shopping.
What can I do for you?
A weekly season ticket, please.
What can I do for you?
A weekly season ticket.
Yes, Herr Schneider?
A weekly season ticket.
And for you, Herr Schneider?
A weekly season ticket.
What is it you want, Herr Schneider?
A weekly season ticket. A weekly season ticket. A weekly season ticket. A weekly season ticket.
Since then, I seem to have bought an infinite number of weekly season tickets and thrown each of them at the end of the week into the metal waste paper basket. But now I was sitting there on a bench, waiting for my wife, who was still inside the church. I don't know if I should have gone in to join her, but I shall never forget the entrance to the church, skirted with dark grey stones and the church door faced with black leather. The door opened, and Maria came slowly out of the grey twilight of the church. For the first time today, I saw her from the front, and I thought I noticed a smile on her face. She had laid the white and yellow long-stemmed flowers over the top of her shopping bag, and they swayed gently to the rhythm of her steps. She began to walk faster, passing the new marketplace on her left, and by now she seemed to me a stranger, someone quite different from the wife I had remembered. I saw her clearly, and never lost sight of her. She stopped once more in front of Bonberg's shop window, and I managed to slip into the passage where I watched her, standing on the same spot where she had been standing when I first caught sight of her. I gazed at her gentle, sad profile, and I was aware of the ridiculous contrast between what I was watching with such tender emotions and what I was hearing.
Are you looking for a cloak? Go to Bonberg. Bonbergs. A coat and skirt? Bonbergs. For quality in cloaks, hats, and suits, Bonbergs are the top.
Maria turned round and, crossing the street, went to a lemonade stall. I noticed how she took money out of her purse and put the change back into it. Tiny little gestures, so familiar, which now gave me a heartache to recognize. She poured out her lemonade into a glass and drank. I saw her through two glass windows. Something made me think of the conversation we had had on the previous Saturday when I came home.
Good thing tomorrow's Sunday.
What are we doing tomorrow?
Oh, the usual, I suppose. You go with the children to early mass, and then I get up and we all have breakfast together.
And in the afternoon?
Well, let's see. What we always do, I suppose, go for a walk in the public garden, take some cakes with us. Maybe I can stand you a coffee. Anyhow, tomorrow night we might go to the cinema, just you and I. Or had you something else in mind?
I thought perhaps we might go into the forest, go out by tram. The children are dying to go. They can never forget the time we did go once.
No, I couldn't go. But, well, if you want to go, why not go there by yourself, with the children?
What, alone? Me alone? But the children are so happy when you're there.
You say they're happy when I'm there? Oh, good heavens.
Are you looking for a cloak? Go to Bonbergs. A hat? Bonbergs. A coat and skirt? Bonbergs. For quality in cloaks?
Maria slowly pushed her glass across the counter. Then she checked the things in her shopping bag and picked up the flowers in her right hand. I looked at her again and saw once more a woman who excited me. A strange and at the same time very familiar woman. My wife. She waited for the tram. I asked for a beer and a schnapps.
A beer and a schnapps for the gentleman.
Yes, it was number 12. She had got in, and I could still see her standing up in the car. I didn't know what to do with my face as I was afraid of bursting into tears.
Beer and schnapps, sir. 40 pfennigs, please. Thank you very much. That's correct.
I walked back to the office very slowly by the same road by which I'd come every morning.
Hey, Schneider, back already? I thought you'd make a proper morning of it. But, my dear chap, you're too conscientious. You must have raced to the bank and back to be here in 20 minutes.
20 minutes?
My dear fellow, what's the matter with you? You look peculiar. Are you ill, Schneider? Sit down. What's happened, old man? Did you go to the bank? You didn't go to the bank. Something happened. What happened?
Really, nothing. Nothing happened.
No, nothing.
But if you forgot what you went out to do, then something's wrong.
No, really. Please leave me alone. It's nothing.
All right, all right. But you really don't look well. You must have a taxi. You should go home at once. Stefan! Fräulein Stefan! Do you have a taxi?
Schneider, what is the matter with you? You know you can talk to me. Have you something on your mind?
No. No, really, I haven't. I'm only thinking of something.
Then I saw everything once more in my mind's eye. My wife, the papier-mâché Javanese, holding up a coffee cup in front of his gleaming teeth. And I heard the voices. But I still saw my wife.
I had put the white marguerites into the vase and the yellow ones into the metal box on the windowsill. It isn't far to the cemetery. I heard a motor car drive by. Then I put the potatoes in the oven and cleared up the things the children had left lying about. Then I went to the tap to fill my pail. I gazed into the looking glass, right through to the endless milky twilight plain. And from that measureless distance there rose up the forms of those who have determined my existence. Parents and friends and generations I only knew by hearsay. And in the foreground stood the four persons who complete my own life.
Paul, what? How strange you look. Why have you come home at this hour?
I had to see you.
See me? You had to see me, but you see me every day. Don't look at me like that. You frighten me. Paul.
Maria, don't be frightened. There's nothing to be frightened about. I wanted to see you and tell you something. I want to talk to you.
Talk to me? Now?
Yes. Now.
A Day Like Any Other was written by Heinrich Böll and translated from the German by Richard Graves. The part of Herr Schneider was played by Clifford Evans and that of his wife by Joan Matheson. Production by Christopher Sykes.